You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man.
Good morning. How do you do?
Hey, man.
Just want to talk about the boys in blue.
Hey, man.
Now that you've been here a year, what's your favorite KCQ?
Hey, man.
What's new in the clubhouse, the bullpen, and the lineup, too?
Hey, man.
How was the road trip? Bob and Dusty want to know.
Hey, man.
What do you think of Slugger and FM radio?
Hey, man.
Is it true you're a deadhead, too?
Hey, man.
Kid Baseball want to talk to.
That's right, 9 o'clock on a Wednesday, which means it's time for that guy who you just heard the voice, Mac Cotrero, the Royals skipper. Q, real quick, how is Kevin Biggio's face after meeting the wall last night in that spectacular catch?
Man, what a play. He was good. You know, I think when you hit the wall like that, everything hurts a little bit, right? You got the sunglasses hit, the elbow hits, the face.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He hits a little bit, so he was a little banged up, but he's tough. That was an incredible play.
Yeah, it was dynamic. I mean, you see the glasses flying all over the place. Like, all right, that's a pretty cool play. I like that. Do you think baseball will try to ban crashing into the wall like the NFL's banning the tush push?
That's good. Did they do it? Did they ban the?
It's getting close. Yes, Jason Kelsey's in the room right now, telling them why not to ban. I hate the fact that they're banning the tush push. Like, first of all, where do you stand on that? And second of all, is there a rule in baseball you'd like to ban?
I don't like the extra inning rule.
Oh, okay. I love
that
it.
One's not. That's not one of my favorites. I don't know. It does seem weird though, because wasn't the before it was called the tush push, you weren't allowed to like push your running back in or your quarterback, all that kind of stuff.
In 2005, they changed that rule. I found that out yesterday. I had no idea, because I was like you 24 hours ago. I would have said, you're not even allowed to push the players. I thought it was a rule, but I heard yesterday in 2005, they changed it where you could push your players.
Well, I do remember USC playing Notre Dame one time, and they pushed Leinart into the end zone for a big touchdown. Yep. That was a huge play in that game. I remember that one. So I don't know. I mean, that's just part of the evolution of sports, right? Somebody comes up with something ingenious, and then somebody gets rid of it. So I don't know. I would let it go.
Like if they after the 15 season banned good bullpens in baseball because the Royals were so good at it. I mean, that's kind of what this is reminiscent of to me. You guys continue to dominate with your starting pitching, Matt. They're going to tell you can only have three pitchers with an ERA sub three. The rest have to sit on the bench until you get somebody over three.
Well, I think that's one thing baseball is trying to figure out. They want more starters. So that's the direction. They might ban the relievers more than the starters.
Matt, I have a question. I'm not obviously a baseball manager, but I want to bring this up to you. At least from my perspective, a little bit of a struggling period going on with Salvador Perez. I know there's probably a fine line with a captain and a veteran, a future Hall of Famer, and his manager to kind of at that moment be like, would you like a day? Would you like some time? What's kind of going on with Sal? Is he 100%? Or if, you know, you had any conversations like, you know, maybe relax the plate? Like, what, you know, what's kind of going on with Salvador Perez right now?
Yeah, well, we have those conversations all the time. But to your point, you know, I think we're a better team with Salvi in there. And my general philosophy, just with all the guys, is our guys. These are the guys we believe in. These are the guys that we think are going to be our best chance to win. And we're going to give them every opportunity to work through the things that are struggles. I mean, this is a game of failure. It's not unusual to go through some things like he's going through or some of the other guys have gone through. But for me, it's more about empowering them and pumping them up and making sure that, you know, as long as they're healthy, that we're just working on different things, whether it's physical, mental, you know, pitch selection, whatever the case is, to to try to get him right. And nobody's trying to do that more than Salvi, as you guys know. I mean, there's no one that puts more time, effort, and energy into it than he does in every aspect. So we do have those conversations, but he's in a good spot mentally, and I would bet on him breaking out.
Is he healthy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had to ask just to make sure that he is. And with a guy like that, I don't know how you feel about it, but I hear from my friend Jim all the time, and I'll just throw that out there because he knows who he is. Every day, move Salvi down in the lineup, move him down to 7, move him down to 8, move Garcia up. How do you feel about moving guys up and down the lineup? What's your philosophy on that?
Well, if there was, Mike Kell's having a great season, you have to have balance in your lineup. You have to have people everywhere that are able to do something, because wherever you put him, I mean, a perfect example is that some of these games this year we've moved Vinny down when we're facing a tough lefty, and you come up in the first inning with two guys on base. You hit him 6th, you hit him 7th. You move guys around, and you only dictate the batting order for the first inning, mm-hmm. and then the rest of the game dictates what happens. Now, we still want the guys that we believe have the best chance to impact the game at the top of the order most often, because they get the extra at bat in the game. So right. That's kind of how I look at it.
So when you're looking at Salvi or Garcia or anything like that, you don't buy the move them down in the lineup, they'll see better pitches to hit. Cause I never really understood that, Matt, like moving a guy down in the lineup, he's still facing that same pitcher. Like I've never really comprehended that one.
I think when you get pitched differently is based on how you're performing. Like Salvi gets pitched the same all the time, right? They throw him breaking balls off the plate. They throw him fastballs up in the zone, and Salvi is a free swinger. When his timing is good, and he's seeing the ball well, he lays off some of those breaking balls and he hits the fastball. Other guys, they do get pitched a little differently, not necessarily because of where they are in the batting order, but more because of what the situation of the game is. And who's on base or who's not on base or how many runs were up or down. But there's, I think that's one of the things that's changed a little bit in the game. Pitchers stick way more to their strengths now than pitching to a game report as a general rule.
Today you have Daniel Lynch starting today. The bullpen, the starting rotation kind of taxed lately with injuries and being used. What's kind of the strategy with Lynch today, and what do you expect to see from the lefty?
Yeah, it'll be a bullpen day, so it'll just depend. He'll throw an inning or two depending on how many pitches he throws or how efficient he is. And, we have everybody in the bullpen available, so we'll just mix and match our way through it, and we'll see where we are in the middle innings. And when we, if we have the lead, we have all our high leverage guys ready to go.
And then you get the day off tomorrow, and then you start a series against the Twins, who are playing some hot baseball. So a lot to accomplish today before that off day. But before we let you get out of here, Norm passing away yesterday.
Yeah.
Man, like I know you and I kind of texted a little bit about it yesterday. That's one of the great TV characters of all time.
All time, yeah. I mean, so many. The not only the classic entrance lines that everybody's familiar with, but the banter back and forth. I mean, he and Cliff were a duo, right? I mean, just the way they played off each other. I can laugh just thinking about some of the things, some of those scenes, and what a great show. Obviously, one favorite show, but just to somebody that brought laughter all the time, right? And I mean, even before Cheers, after Cheers, some of his movie roles and stuff, they're just classic, and somebody that brought a lot of joy to a lot of people.
And you got to meet him last year at Big Slick, right? Finally?
I did not. I never got to meet him. No, I was hoping this year was the year.
Yeah, that stinks. I mean, I was thinking about it yesterday. I'm like, I think you got to meet him last year at Big Slick. Who's the Cliff Clavin of your coaching staff?
Oh, wow. Jeez, I don't know if we have. That's a tough role to fill. I maybe Keone.
Okay.
There you go. Well, hey, go get the rubber match today. I like your advantage in this one because you have one of the best pitching staffs in the game, and it is a rubber match today. So, Q, get the series win, take the day off, and go take 2 out of 3 for Minnesota, my guy.
Okay, guys. Have a great week.
Thanks. You too.
That's Matt Cotrero, Royals manager there, talking about Sal and everything in between it. We'll get to that in a little bit later. But also, there is a big, 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 big series tonight for Bob Fesco. The Knicks, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Spike Lee, Reggie Miller, and everything that goes with it. Here on the other side of 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, we got some breaking news out of the NFL we need to get to because a new rule has been passed. My gosh, buckle up for this one, folks. Diana Rossini tweets out, the NFL owners have passed a rule change that would allow teams to declare onside kicks at any point during a game if they are trailing. But wait, there's more. They will be kicked from the 34 instead of the 35, per source.
I don't understand this at all.
It's the poker analogy.
You have to declare. Yeah, it's a great poker analogy. I want you to give it on the air because it works perfectly for this situation. You have to now declare the onside kick. Part of the onside kick is the element of surprise.
You had to declare it before.
No, you didn't.
Last season you did.
Last season.
Yeah. This is not new. That part is not new, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean, but it's new in the NFL from what we're all used to. Like the onside kick has always been the element of surprise. And to have to declare the onside kick to me sounds a little bit stupid. Onside kick success rate in 2024 was 6.45%. So you're talking about less than 7% success rate for the onside kick.
The Saints don't win a Super Bowl if this rule is in effect.
I know. They do not win the Super Bowl.
There's no way.
They
Hank Basket isn't looked at as a reality CV star. He is looked at as a reality TV star, not the guy that fumbled the ball on the onside kick.
You're exactly right about that. I mean, that's right then and there. That's an outcome of a game that was determined. How many times have we seen halves start with an onside kick, you know, and catch the team by surprise? This, again, is the NFL doing dumb things that they don't need to be doing to change the game. And I don't know what you guys thought of the kickoff last year. I have no opinion on the kickoff last year.
I still don't understand it.
Well, there is that element. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It was another play. I didn't feel the need to watch that style of kickoff either, like the other one. I hate the fact now. Okay, well, we're going to have to declare the onside kick. Okay, next year, Patrick Mahomes has to come to the line of scrimmage and declare that he's going to throw the football into what quadrant of the field he's going to throw it to. Is that going to be the next new rule? Because that's where we're headed, guys.
I just don't think that you should have to be able to tell people what you have. Like, it's the poker analogy that I gave you guys in the break. I think it works out this way. I'm going to bluff this hand if you want to call or not. Oh, well, yeah, I'm going to call now. It should be an element of surprise. Like, why? That's what the onside kick is. Now, moving it back a yard, I don't really know what that accomplishes, but apparently it makes it easier for the team to acquire the football that is kicking it.
Yeah, because you can't touch it.
Right.
Until what, 10 yards?
Right. So what's the difference if you kick from the 20, the 10, the 5, the 4, the 2?
In 2028, the rule will be you have to tell the other team which side of the coin you are calling before the ref flips it.
Yeah.
At least you can do it. At least you can do it at any time now. I mean, they're improving on what it was. This has sucked, though. This has been bad for over a year now.
But I love that element of surprise because wouldn't you like it? Like, let's just think of a great scenario. Buffalo. November 9th, Chiefs take the opening kickoff. They're up 7-0 because Buffalo deferred. They score. They're ready to kick off. They onside kick it. Buffalo isn't ready. Chiefs recover, go down the field. They're up 14-0 before Buffalo has touched the football. Mm-hmm. You're taking that element out of the game. Not that a lot of teams did it, but like you're reducing Dave Tobe's duties at this point in time, right? So now you can still do the onside kick. You just have to tell the opposition you're doing the onside kick. Hey, pitcher on the mound, this is Bobby over at first. I'm stealing on this one. Is that for baseball now? Or are we going to have to declare when guys are stealing?
But you can only steal if you're losing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Okay, fine.
As if it's already not a dead giveaway. Oh, yeah. They're behind. They get onside kick at any point.
New collective bargaining agreement in baseball. Pitcher's going to have to now tell the batter what pitch he's throwing.
Tom Pelissero tweeted 25 minutes ago because they are in deliberations, or I guess they are in like the actual offices now, not deliberations, but the NFL owners are set to debate on vote on banning the tush push that we've talked about this morning. Now Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie and Jason Kelce have entered the room to defend the tush push. Where's Howie? He should be there too. But again, we'll give you more information once that starts to develop, because there probably will be a ruling by the time the show is over, I would assume. If not, it will be in the next hour or so. Coming up tonight, though, is Knicks and Pacers game one. A rich rivalry that involves two guys that are no longer playing and one never played, Spike Lee and Reggie Miller. Yeah. I'm excited to watch that video tonight. Obviously, Reggie calling the game. Spike will be there, as it is in New York. I'm excited for this. This is a game I'm more excited about than last night.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the game last night, but maybe like a lot of people, I was annoyed at SGA just constantly going to the free throw line. It made that game go longer than it probably should have. I told you guys yesterday, you're going to figure out today how many people will be about this rule, about how he's always getting foul calls, how he's always leaning into foul calls. Some funny memes went around with that, but this is the series of the Final Four, in my opinion. This is New York. This is Indiana, Halliburton versus Jalen Brunson, Spike Lee versus Reggie Miller, Timothée Chalamet and Ben Stiller versus, yeah, no celebrities really in Indiana. But again,
David Letterman, maybe.
Fair. Maybe Larry Bird makes an appearance as well, I would assume. But I'm excited for this. This is Eastern Conference Finals. This is in the Madison Square Garden. This is celebrities everywhere centered around those guys and those gals that are those celebrities. Plus, it's the Knicks, man. So as much as people may not like New York teams, this is what it is.
I never once heard fans from another team or anybody in the NBA complain about Spike Lee being shown on TV as much as he has, as much as people complain about Taylor Swift. Why is it okay to show Spike Lee on TV or Ben Stiller on TV, but the minute they show Taylor Swift, Tony Dungy sounds like an old grandpa and complains about Taylor Swift being on TV? Celebrities are part of the game. It's what's adding to this game tonight. Yes, there's a basketball game. Yes, it's the Eastern Conference Finals, but it's also about everything else that's going on inside that building that everybody's going to be paying attention to. The Spike Lee, Reggie Miller dynamic is going to be outstanding. I think both of those guys know what their expectation is for this series, you know, to get involved with each other. And I guarantee you they're going to do that. It's going to be fun. Spike is going to walk over to that television table and have conversations, as he should. We're all ready for this. We all want to see this. There's the extra for this series, right? There's not really a lot of extra in the West. That's a nice basketball series, I would imagine. But in the East, it's like, oh yeah, and then there's a basketball game going on because there's so much other stuff. There's a team that hasn't won a championship in 50 years. There's a team that's never won a championship. They're heated rivals with each other in the postseason. You got 30 years of history between these two teams. You got all the old Knicks showing back up at the world's most famous arena. The only thing that I have a hard time with is that it is a series and it's not this one game. And like, how do you get yourself up every single night for a 7-game series? I would be more excited if tonight was a clinching game than game one, you know? And that's the difference between what sports does with the series versus the one and done that the NFL playoffs are, or even the NCAA tournament with the one and done stuff. Game one, it's going to be exciting and it's going to be fun, but you know there's still a long way to go, right? It's only game one. There's not a lot on the line. And look, Knicks fans, they haven't won in a while. A lot of people hate Knicks fans. I understand that. They've done it kind of to themselves, throwing trash at Windhorse and the Pacer fan. Like, there's no reason to do that kind of stuff. But like, if New York wins tonight, they're going to try to burn down the city, and it's only one game of a series.
105-99, 18.7 seconds left. Miller for three, and he got it. Reggie Miller with a clutch tray, and it's 105-102. And a steal. Miller retreats to the three-point line and hits again.
Reggie Miller has tied the game with 13 seconds remaining.
Reggie Miller made a three, stole the ball, raced behind the three-point line, and hit again.
One of the greatest clutch playoff performers of his generation has apparently done it again.
There's some lore for you if you don't know the history of this series. Eight points and 8.9 seconds from Reggie Miller. He'll be calling the game tonight with his arch rival right next to him, as you guys mentioned, on courtside, Spike Lee. It's going to be fun. This is awesome.
He had better be a homer for the Pacers. Like, it better be over-the-top homerism.
So. He probably won't.
For the Pacers. I think he will.
You think? I hope so.
I think this is that one team that you're like, screw it, man. Because, again, expectation. There's going to be a lot of people watching the series who aren't necessarily basketball fans, right? But they want to see everything that's going on. They want to be part of a moment. They want to be part of an event. They want to see something special. This is also TNT's last run. This is it, right? Every game that goes away is one less that they're going to ultimately do. Hopefully it goes game seven so we can see these guys on TNT for a long period of time, because that ESPN crew just rots. But this TNT crew is awesome. I want to see them around. They know it's their last song as well. Last time Reggie Miller is going to be doing this with Kevin Harlan at the guard. I mean, there's so much going on. And then there's a game, right? And then there's the game that's going to take place. And so I think Reggie Miller needs to be over the top. I would be upset if he's not up and over the top about the Indiana Pacers and the Knicks.
And it's rare you get a basketball series where the two best players are actually going to guard each other. Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson are going to have to be mano-a-mano on each other. They'll switch. There will be different things. But large portion of the game, it's going to be those guys guarding each other. That's fun. That's rare that you get that.
Is Halliburton's dad going to be there? Because nope, even he had a comment about it the other day. Halliburton, like, knowing and understanding what's going on, is like, yeah, I don't know if my dad's going to be there or not.
Yeah, they're like, they kept it open-ended.
The other thing, too, is that this is a rematch of last year.
Yeah.
Yep.
People forget that the series happened last year. It wasn't the East Conference Finals. But no. It was the one before it.
Right.
Very different Knicks team.
Yeah.
But still, you're right. Still there. Jalen Brunson was on that team.
Right. And they made moves in the offseason to get further in the playoffs. Those moves have paid off tremendously.
Yes, they have.
And it was a good trade for both teams. Randall's doing fine. Randall went nuts.
Randall's doing amazing.
Didn't win, but he went nuts.
He's incredible. He's been amazing.
And Karl Anthony Towns in great New York. A guy that I didn't think was going to work in Broadway has worked well
in
Broadway.
It's been nice. It really has been. That guy's playing with a busted up finger and everything now, too. Like, that's how you know it works when guys are going out there, especially in the NBA, playing with any sort of injury. It'll be like a baseball player playing with some sort of injury.
Right. So can Haliburton and Chalamet give us a little bit of Reggie and Spike?
Ooh, that'd be good. I'd like that. I mean, Tyrese Haliburton definitely talks.
For sure.
He talks a lot of smack. He gets it from his dad. Doesn't fart too far from the tree.
But is Chalamet going to say, is he the right guy to go after? Or I think Stiller may be the guy.
No, Stiller could be a guy.
Stiller you can't take serious. I mean, let's be honest.
And Stiller's too nice, maybe.
Right.
But Stiller's in on, like, he is a diehard.
He already tweeted, right, Knicks, all caps this morning. Yeah.
But so is Tim. He's skyrocketed to the second biggest Knicks fan there is.
He was at every Celtics game, too.
Correct.
And, boss, he's huge, dude.
But does that mean you're as diehard as Ben Stiller is, though? Like, that's where I'm getting at. Like, Chalamet, new, Stiller been there forever. Spike Lee been there forever. I would feel like Stiller needs to be the guy. As you mentioned and you said earlier, he's already up tweeting about this game
Knicks.
And everything. Like, he's ready to go. He's probably down there already.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think that scene is? Like, last night in Boston, I guarantee you every local television station was outside of Cheers talking about Norm dying.
Mm, you're right.
I guarantee you every television station in New York City has been outside that garden all morning long, and I guarantee you the fans are already starting to congregate and get ready for tonight's festivities.
Well, we see more athletes walking into the stadium tonight in their outfits or more celebrities at the game.
Probably the celebrities.
Yeah. So many.
There's only 12 guys on each team, right? For roughly, right?
Yeah.
So you're talking about roughly 30 guys walking in.
Because what? Tracy Morgan, Timothée Chalamet, Ben Stiller, Kylie Jenner, Spike Lee.
I mean, and all the people you don't even know about. How many Giants and Jets and Yankees and Mets and all these guys are going to be showing up to the game? Like, I don't know what time the Yankees and Mets play. Russell Wilson. Ciara will be there.
Uh-huh. Yep, she counts.
Tommy Cutlets will probably show up.
Will Jameis be there?
Winston. I hope Jameis is there. Yeah, like, I mean,
he's
the list goes on and on.
He is, yeah.
Somebody say people forget that Brunson and Haliburton were about to fight at WWE Monday Night Raw. Triple H has been writing the script. LOL.
That's awesome.
It is true. He did tweet that out, so somewhat kind of stolen. But yeah, he said, we've been planning this a whole time. It's been written, and it was, they were both in T-shirts,
yes,
came in the railing.
That's awesome.
You know. No, I'm excited for it. You know, I really am, because I this is what makes basketball, is that it's bigger than the actual game.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Halliburton's dad. We're talking about Walter Mitty and the guy from Dune.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're at. And we're talking about 1996.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Yeah. That's what this Thunder in Minnesota, they don't give you that.
No.
They give you a guy who is the MVP because he's the most valuable flopper. And then you have a guy in Ant who was held in check last night. Not necessarily fully.
Yeah, he was not good last night.
He wasn't his best.
Don't hear a peep about it on Twitter because he's the golden child, but it's all okay.
Easy. They are in
conversations right now in the room. Jason Kelsey and Lori have entered the conversation of Tush Push.
Is this like determining the new Pope? Are we going to see white smoke here in a minute?
Yes. If it's green, it stands.
Yes.
If it's white, it is banned. I will say this. Having this conversation this morning in the Tush Push, and we'll end it after this. This reminds me of when I was a child playing Madden. This is what this Tush Push ban reminds me of. So hear me out. Madden in 2004 had a man on the cover named Michael Vick. And not a lot of people probably realize what Michael Vick's attributes were, right? I believe he had 97 speed, which was insane for a quarterback, and he had 98 throwing power for a quarterback. His accuracy wasn't high. But when people fell into Michael Vick and did the research and looked over like, oh my gosh, all I have to do is run four verticals and send everybody out, and the entire defense will go back, and I can then use Michael Vick and his speed to be a cheat code, but that I found, that I used, that I perfected, and now all of a sudden that I'm dominant at this position at quarterback and with this guy and his statistics, now all of a sudden my friends are telling me, we can play Madden, but you can't be the Falcons.
That's right.
Why?
Because this is where everybody gets a medal society that we're in, right? Little Johnny and Aiden, Braden, Caden, and Jim, they all need to be treated the same. They all need to have the same results, and they all need to have fairness out there. Instead of making people go out and earn things in life, we'd rather change the rules to make it easier, if you will.
And I think that being Michael Vick in that video game and having other friends be like, you know what? I don't want to play you because you're only going to be Michael Vick. You're just going to run the ball. It's unfair. It's a cheat code. It's like going back another generation. We can play Tecmo Bowl, but you can't be the Raiders.
Yeah, it can't be Bo Jackson.
Because you got Bo Jackson. We can play King Griffey Jr. Slugfest, but you can't play with King Griffey Jr. Sorry that I found a niche in the system that I have perfected and you cannot stop. The one thing that I will say that Michael Vick's addition of that game created, which was awesome, was the player mode of the middle linebacker. People stopped running in as the edge rusher just to get easy sacks. Now it evolved the game. People started playing solo player middle linebacker to read the defense pick. Yeah, you can pick Michael Vick, but whatever side you pick, I'm going to follow, and then I'm going to make you throw it. And it changed the way people played the game. The tush push should not be banned. You should figure out a way to stop it, and it might change the way it's played because we know what the NFL is. It is a copycat league. If one team could prove to everyone how to stop it, that video would spread like wildfire, and then you would find guys to defend that move. They are in conversation to ban this move, but it reminds me oh so much of the 2004 cover child of Michael Vick, where if you found out who he is and what you could do with him, you were dominant. And once you played against your friends and always beat him, they said, we'll play, but you ain't the Falcons.
And also, too, the other thing about this is it's not just the tush push. It's any sort of pushing of a player down the field. Like, you've seen Trey Smith do that numerous times in the last year alone. That is now going to be what looks like a 10-yard penalty. This coming from breaking news out of the NFL from Ian Rapoport. Brett Veach will no longer allowed to be able to draft players because he's just too good at it. Like, that's where we're going right now. We are moving. Andy Reid is no longer allowed to call offensive plays because of how good he is at it. That's where we're headed, and it's really a slippery slope to start banning things and changing rules because certain teams have figured things out and others have not. And that's just a product of bad coaching in the NFL to not figure stuff like this out. Coaches change over all the time in this league. I mean, like, we're worried about stuff that ultimately in the big picture of the NFL really doesn't matter.
You ready to tell the people how right I was about Paul Skeens?
I saw that tweet just now, too. Yeah, Heyman. Yeah.
Pirates source. Paul Skeens is not getting traded. No chance. No way. Not no how.
So he's getting traded.
Is the way I heard it. While there's a bit of logic to such a scenario, superstars just aren't traded by anyone with 1 year service time, and the Pirates remain determined to build around Skeens.
Yeah, the odds of the Pirates building around Skeens are like me hanging out with Tara Reid back in the 90s. Mm. Ain't happening, right? You can wish and hope all you want. The Pirates are not building around Paul Skeens and putting a winner out there. Their owner sucks.
And what did I tell you in February?
They're going to trade Paul Skeens. And they should.
Yankees.
And they should. They absolutely should. If you want to revitalize that franchise, trade Paul Skeens. Absolutely trade Paul Skeens because you're wasting him right now. And every start that goes by, his trade value just decreases a little bit more because it's less and less service time. If you were going to trade Paul Skeens to the Yankees right now, they would give you anything in their system, anything, or whoever, right? Whatever team. The Royals would absolutely trade Cags for Paul Skeens right now. You could get anything you want from any team in Major League Baseball. The Pirates are stupid to keep Paul Skeens on their roster unless they plan to spend like the Royals did 2 years ago in the offseason and go revamp their entire team. But that owner sucks in Pittsburgh, and he's taken away cinder blocks with people's dad's names on it, hiding Roberto Clemente's number, like the whole nine yards. Who's trusting that guy to do anything right? They need to trade Paul Skeens.
The thing that's interesting...
He should demand a trade.
I mean, imagine him and Livy in New York. You thought Timotei and Ben Stiller were showing up to Knicks games. You put Paul Skeens and Livy Dunn.
No, she's a Jersey girl, so, I mean, it screams perfect fit.
I mean, and if an organization pays your superstar a lot of money, the lady will follow. Taylor Swift was once an Eagles fan. Now she is a diehard Chiefs fan. Yes. So, yeah, I've been saying this. I knew it as soon as he got drafted by the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm like, that's great. But he will be the next. Garrett Cole, he was their big pitcher. They traded him to Houston, and then Houston to New York.
That's right.
And, yeah, I can't imagine. Because, look, Pittsburgh, what? Have they fired their manager?
They did. Yep.
Fired their manager. The only thing they've done all right this year was give everybody a bobblehead that showed up in that long line.
Yeah.
Of Paul Skeens, because that was them foreshadowing, saying, he may never be here again. Get it while it's hot.
That's right.
That's insane. Because I saw that. I saw Passan's logic. He's like, if the Pirates were smart, they would trade Paul Skeens. Because you get a haul. Like, I would give up Chris Bubich, Jack Caglione, Gavin Cross, and a first-round pick for Paul Skeens. And I don't think that's crazy.
Say it again.
Paul Skeens, 4. Caglione, Chris Bubich, Gavin Cross, and a first-round pick.
Well, you can't trade picks in baseball unless they're the compensatory ones. So that's out. But I would do the whole. I would do the absolutely.
Okay, then take back the pick.
Yeah, no,
and throw 100%. And throw in Ben Rave.
100%. You could have said anybody.
Yeah.
Except for Bobby. But
no. But imagine if you had Bobby Witt Jr. and Paul Skeens on the same team.
Oh, God.
You'd be on Sunday Night Baseball this week.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm JJ, I'm picking up the phone and calling that Pirates owner and trying to fleece him out of Paul Skeens. Because what the good thing about Paul Skeens is you still got 4.5 more years of control under that guy before he gets to arbitration. Gosh. It's not like you got to pay him right away either.
Please tell me Paul Skeens pitches today and take the over in strikeouts.
Please tell me that Paul Skeens gets traded.
Brady Singer pitches today, though. He's 5-2 with a 5.01 ERA. So, yeah, we'll see. Paul Skeens' next start is, nobody knows. Oh, it will be on Friday. Friday at home against the Brewers. That might be the last time that Pittsburgh Pirates fans get to see Paul Skeens at home. Friday against the Brewers. Wild to think that his name is in the trade conversation. Will it happen? We don't know. Pittsburgh says no, which means we say yes.
It means it's yes.
We wrap this show up on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
And Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
Final segment here on Fesco and Dusty. Is this okay, go? Great band. They're having a revival. So is the All-American Rejects.
I saw that on Twitter this morning. Yeah. They are going to anybody's house who wants them to show up, right? We should get them here in studio.
Love it.
Send a message to them on the IG, which I've been banned from, but you can send a message to that.
You've been banned from IG?
Oh, it was the same day I got banned from Facebook, banned from IG. It's been the greatest thing that's ever happened to me other than working with you.
Thank you.
But no, I mean, it's so good. Banned in January of 2020. Couldn't have happened at a better time.
I love Instagram. It's a problem. I like it a lot.
I'll slide into their DMs.
Mm-hmm. Might as well see if they'll come here and be on a radio show. Number one show in the city. Let's go.
They're so good live.
Okay, stop telling me how good they are. Get them in studio. Tell them how good they are.
That would be hilarious if they would come here and do just a live show for 4 hours.
Why wouldn't they be the bump music every single time?
They would be incredible.
They're showing up at every fraternity party, right?
Bowling alleys, fraternity parties, coffee shops.
Slide into their DMs and say, hey, get your asses in here. Give you 4 hours on the radio. We got to sign a waiver.
In a matter of a month, they have earned a whole new generation of fans and changed their legacy as a band.
Oh,
pretty
much.
Literally.
Are you saying that, or did somebody say that and you're just quoting that? Because that's brilliant.
I haven't seen it. I'm sure it's been talked about.
That's crazy to think about that.
But, like,
man,
that's what it's happened. In the minor month, like, the, all these 18-year-olds are probably like, eh, maybe I know Move Along. Or like, oh, dude, this band's awesome.
Did they sing Dirty Little Secret?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dirty Little Secret, Dirty Little Secret.
Gives You Hell, Move Along, got a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, like, seriously, I mean, how cool would that be for them to show up?
That'd be cool.
We could have them in and not tell anybody.
I would say that'd be cool if we had them like at a random location and you just had to find the music.
Yeah. Just follow the All-American. We're not telling Spectre this at all. Especially not telling the big bosses any of this. We'll just get them in studio. They'll meet us out here at 5:30 and we'll let them in and they can play all morning long in studio.
Going to their Instagram right now.
Okay. Yeah, they did it last night too. I watched the video.
Where did they end up last night?
I forget what it was, but he just basically said, we're doing this because F Ticketmaster, F those ticket sales. We want to give you free concert. We want to give you music and let you enjoy it. Hit my song.
Yeah, right? Like, how cool is that, though?
Oh, it's
like,
great.
I think a lot of the artists, for the most part, are tired of this Ticketmaster stuff as well.
Of course.
I mean, it's too expensive for anybody to go enjoy. The user fees for Ticketmaster are outrageous. Somebody should do something. And then you can't even buy the tickets half the time, as we know with that Taylor Swift fiasco that took place with all the bots buying tickets and whatnot. It's terrible. It's horrible. It's
terrible.
No doubt. Something that's not terrible is this drop. We started the show, we end the show with the Fesco and Dusty poll question, and that poll question today was, who is the Chiefs' biggest rival to you in the AFC West? Broncos, Raiders, Chargers. Broncos 59.4%, Raiders 24%, Chargers 16.6%. The Chargers will never win the West in anything. But yeah, the Broncos, man, 271 votes, 59.4%. Maybe tells you where your audience is, but some people would always say the Raiders. 24% of people said that the Broncos continue to be the most hated team in the AFC West, according to fans in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think most fans probably on X, formerly Twitter, don't remember when the Raiders were a legitimate organization. Most of us don't because it's been 23 years, I believe. Is that the last time they won a playoff game? Did you look that up earlier?
Yeah, I did.
And that's the last time, right? The AFC Championship game in, after the 2002 season or 2002 Super Bowl, whatever it was that year.
2002,
They haven't won a playoff game in 23 years.
They made it twice.
Like, you're 26.
Yeah.
And last year was the first time in, gosh, I can't remember the last time.
They've only made the playoffs twice since that Super Bowl?
Twice, yeah. One of which was three years ago, I guess, the Bengals.
The Bengals, yeah. Right. We all know that one. Yeah. What was the other time? That was with Rich Bisaccia, that great dish at Jaspers.
They were in the playoffs this year, or this past year. Broncos?
The Raiders.
Oh, Raiders. I'm
Raiders,
sorry.
Raiders.
Raiders. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to think of the other time they were in. I couldn't remember.
In the Super Bowl?
I mean, but he said they've been in there twice since.
2016, they lost in the wild card to the Houston Texans. Classic on Houston Saturday. Texans on a Saturday.
Right. Saturday. That was the year after the Chiefs beat them then. So they've been in the playoffs two times in 23 years. Yeah, most X-users don't ever remember the Raiders. Like, you don't, Mac, ever remember the Raiders being a good, dynamic organization. I barely remember that because it was in the 70s and 80s the last time they were good. But I do watch videos and see how cheap they were and how much these guys that played in the 60s and 70s hated them and how much Lamar hated them and how much Carl hated them and how much Vermeil and Marty hated them. Mm-hmm. And that breeds in you. Like, the fans of the 90s, man, it was always Raider week. Ask Danan right now. You call Danan up, he'll come through a wall to beat up on the Raiders right about now, right? So it is a definite generational type thing. There's no doubt about it, because most of Twitter users, I would imagine, the majority of people on social media weren't around when the Raiders were any good.
Speaking of social media, an announcement here about an hour ago, the NBA MVP winner will be announced tonight on TNT with the greatest pre- and post-game show there is, Chuck, Shaq, Kenny, and Ernie. They will announce the winner of the 2024-25 Kia NBA Most Valuable Player during tonight's pregame coverage at 6 o'clock Central Time.
Well, I got some good news that just popped with this Belichick story. Have you seen this one now?
No.
Oh, my God. Bill Belichick's ex, Linda Holiday, confronted Jordan Hudson at a Christmas party and then threatened Miss Massachusetts, too.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Jerry.
And we're not talking about it. Selmo from TMZ. Bill Belichick's ex-girlfriend, Linda Holiday, ran into his current one, Jordan Hudson, while the two were at a Christmas party late last year. And TMZ has learned their meetup was anything but friendly. The intense encounter went down on December 6th at a stroll party in Massachusetts hosted by Dreamland, which describes itself as Nantucket Island's year-round nonprofit firm, a film for performing arts and cultural center. Holiday's daughters, Ashley and Kat Hess, a.k.a. the Hess twins, I'll have to look them up, were DJing the bash, which started around 7 o'clock. But according to a Dreamland incident report we obtained around 9:30 p.m., Holiday, who reportedly moved into a Belichick-purchased Nantucket home, contacted an event official when Jordan Hudson arrived. The documents state that Holiday was upset by the presence of Belichick's current girlfriend, believing it was, quote, inappropriate since the event was widely advertised as a party headlined by her daughters. She asked that I remove Miss Hudson from the premises. A short time later, Holiday can be seen on the security video confronting Jordan Hudson and a few of her friends right in the middle of the dance floor where roughly 200 people were partying.
Murder on the dance floor.
There's juice all over the place.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, Hess twins.
Yeah.
You should look them up.
Okay.
Yep.
Have you heard of the Hess twins before this moment?
I have not.
Dusty, have you?
Nope.
Smash.
Oh. Okay. That's
the music. It's really good.
Okay.
Good DJing.
Nice.
Oh, boy. I mean, this Miss Massachusetts is getting involved now.
That's right. Hey, enjoy today, Bob.
I will.
Yeah, man. Enjoy your day today. Play Vitamin C graduation.
Yeah.
Windows down. Going to be a great day to do that. But no, enjoy the day. It's a big day for you, big day for your family, big day for your daughter.
Yep.
Last day of the carpool lane for those that missed the beginning of the show. So enjoy that. Soak it up. This is why they say moments don't last forever, because when they don't, you remember them the last time they happened. So I encourage you. I know you'll do that yourself. You're a dad. You're a proud father of these girls. And this is the final one. So I give you my adieu to enjoy what
Thank
this day
you.
Is.
I thought I'd be looking forward to my last day ever in the carpool lane, but I'm not. Damn it.
I think you'll get to the driveway and take the breath, and then you'll be okay.
Yeah.
And then
I'll see some silver minivan with a Karen driving around, parking in three spots with her wine.
Well, now you don't have to worry about those ladies
now
anymore.
I know.
Now you get to have extra garage time.
Mm-hmm.
Take a lot of garage time today. You know what I mean? So, no, it cherish those moments, man. They're fun. You never know, man. I used to hate driving to Warrensburg and everyone.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Once in a while, I miss that 13 highway drive because I was by myself and got to talk to anything I wanted to whenever I wanted on that drive. And I do miss it, whether it's fun or not. It was still something that I looked forward to that I no longer have. So, I mean, again, enjoy this day with your daughter. It'll be a good experience.
Tomorrow's graduation, so.
No doubt. Hey, we'll be back tomorrow. Bob will be here for half the show, and then he's going to jet out of here because he's got some stuff to do. But we'll be here holding it down. Don't forget, go do nice things for somebody. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It is simply cool to care, Kansas City. Stay safe. Stay kind. Coming up from 10 to 1:30 is Cody Golden Drew. We'll talk to you tomorrow, guys.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.